Let's continue reading verses 11 through 15 of Amos 9. Now, in this last half of Amos 9, we have a vision of blessing for Israel, a fitting conclusion to the end of the book of Amos. Let's begin by reading verses 11 and 12. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Once again, some background notes. In our outline of Amos, we've said that chapters 7 through 9 consist of six visions, and that the sixth vision is a vision of blessing here in verses 11 through 15. Some commentaries on Amos say that there are only five visions, and that verses 11 through 15 is just the epilogue or closing to the book of Amos. Now, there's certainly something that can be said for that view of outlining the book. You see, because in this way, all eight prophecies in chapters 1 and 2, and all three sermons in chapters 3 through 6, and all five visions in chapters 7 through 9 in this view, are prophecies and sermons and visions of judgment. If we make verses 11 through 15 here another vision, it is not of judgment like the rest, but quite different. It's a vision of blessing. Furthermore, all of the other five visions begin with the words, "The Lord showed me," or "I saw," whereas verse 11 here just begins with the words, "on that day." So there is a case that can be made for outlining the book of Amos as eight prophecies, three sermons, and five visions with a closing or an epilogue at the end. However, we've chosen to call this a sixth vision in our outline, even though it is a vision of blessing. In any case, it is a prophetic vision of the future. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one. In the future, the throne of David will be reestablished. In the future, the throne of David will be reestablished. That's the point of verses 11 and 12. The tabernacle or tent or booth of David is the dynasty of David. That dynasty was damaged when the United Kingdom split after the reign of Solomon. But that fallen dynasty will be repaired and rebuilt. Note, as in the days of old, that is Judah and Israel together under a king in the line of David. Now let me ask you, when is this? Is it now? No, we believe it's future. Let's not spiritualize away this passage to the kingdom of God now. It's true that the Lord is king now and seated on his throne in heaven. But we believe that in the future, the Lord will return to this earth and set up his millennial kingdom, and the Davidic throne will be literally reestablished. Christ is literally in the line of David, and he will literally reign on and over this earth for 1,000 years. Read Revelation chapter 20 in this connection. The kingdom will be centered in the New Jerusalem, but its scope will reach out to the Gentile nations around the world. Verse 12. Now in Acts chapter 15, at the first church council at Jerusalem, James quoted these two verses, Amos 9, 11, and 12. I'm reading Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 17. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon," that is Peter, "Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." And now here comes the quote from Amos. "After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things." Now, the question at the council in Jerusalem was the status of Gentiles in the church. James' point was not that this prophecy was being fulfilled at this time. His point was that Gentiles should be included in the church as Gentiles because God's program for the future did include Gentiles according to the prophecy of Amos. Did you follow that? I mean, in the last three sentences, I've covered a two-hour lecture. But I hope you followed. So in the future, the throne of David will be reestablished. Doctrinal point number two. In the future, the land of Israel will be replenished. In the future, the land of Israel will be replenished. Verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. You know, the land of Israel today is quite productive. It's absolutely phenomenal how productive even the barren land can be when it's irrigated and cultivated. Now, does this mean that verse 13 is being fulfilled today? Answer, it's only a foretaste of what's to come. When the Lord returns to this earth to set up his kingdom, the land of Israel will be so replenished that literally they will begin planting a new crop as soon as the former crop is harvested. This will be the time when the desert will blossom as a rose, as we read in Isaiah 35. This is what God had promised his people long ago if they would follow him. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 6. You know, the prophet Joel also prophesied of this time of great blessing on the land in the future. Joel 3, verse 18. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. This will be fulfilled literally in the land of Israel. In the future, the land of Israel will be replenished. And doctrinal point number three. In the future, the people of Israel will be restored. In the future, the people of Israel will be restored. Verses 14 and 15. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now let me ask you this morning, has this part of the prophetic vision of Amos been fulfilled? I mean, maybe when the Jews return from the captivity in Babylon. Well, it can't have been fulfilled then, because verse 15 says, I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. The Jewish people certainly were not permanently planted in the land after they returned from the captivity in Babylon. Well, then, maybe it's being fulfilled now with the Jews returning to their homeland after so many years from countries all over the world. Once again, the answer is, what we see now is only a foretaste of what's to come. The Jews are returning to the land, and the nation of Israel is once again a reality. But the peace that's prophesied here has not yet come. Furthermore, we know from Scripture that hard times are ahead for the nation of Israel, especially during the time of the tribulation period. However, during that time, the Jewish people will not only continue to return to the land, but many of them will return to the Lord. And when the Lord returns to set up his kingdom here on this earth, there will be peace and prosperity and security for this restored remnant. This is the all Israel that will be saved according to Romans 11:26. Let's not spiritualize away the Israel of Romans 11 to the church. The church is not the new Israel. And Romans 11 speaks of a great spiritual revival amongst the Jewish people in the future. I wish we had time to read the whole chapter, but I'll just read the conclusion to the Apostle Paul's argument that God still has a plan for the Jewish people. Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. In the future, the people of Israel will be restored. Now, what about practical application for this last section of Amos chapter 9? Don't confuse figurative language and the spiritualization of Scripture. Don't confuse figurative language and the spiritualization of Scripture. Maybe this is not the most exciting practical application as we come to the end of our studies on Amos. However, it's a very important point, and it's very practical when it comes to interpreting Scripture. Don't confuse figurative language and the spiritualization of Scripture. Now, see if I can illustrate. Suppose you ask me what I'm going to do for vacation, and I say to you, our whole family is meeting at a Christian camp where the sun always shines, and every meal is a banquet, and the speaker is out of this world. Now, I've used some figurative language here, right? And you recognize it. And you understand why I used it. My intention is to convey to you that it's a great Christian camp, and we're looking forward to a great family vacation. But now let's say you go further and spiritualize my statement. You say that I didn't mean a literal Christian camp here on earth, but that I meant heaven, where the whole family of God will meet someday for an everlasting vacation from our labors here on earth. Listen to the statement again. Our whole family is meeting at a Christian camp where the sun always shines and every meal is a banquet and the speaker is out of this world. When you spiritualize my statement, you've done more than rightly see figurative language in my statement. You've wrongly spiritualized it to mean something that I did not intend to say. You follow? How does this relate to Amos 9, 11 through 15? Don't confuse the figurative language here with spiritualization. Figurative language, yes. Spiritualization, no. Look at verse 13 again. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Now, there's certainly some figurative language used here, obviously. The plowman is not literally going to drive his tractor over the grain that's ready to be harvested. And wine is not literally going to flow down the mountainside. This is figurative language, and we understand what Amos intended. There is going to be a great time for the land, a time when the land will be very productive. But to spiritualize the land here, to the land of blessing in the church, the so-called New Israel, and to spiritualize the people here, to all believers, with no future restoration of the Jewish people. We'll just spiritualize away to all believers. And spiritualize away the restored Davidic dynasty here on earth to Christ's heavenly kingdom. That's certainly not what Amos intended. Now, there is a legitimate spiritualization of Scripture, such as types in the Old Testament and parables in the New Testament. But don't spiritualize straight predictive prophecy, as here in Amos 9, verses 11 through 15. Don't confuse figurative language and the spiritualization of Scripture.